I speak to you in God's holy name, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today I want us to think about all the readings together in total. For the readings have a theme, a message for the whole of the church. And I'm going to start by reading again the collect. Merciful Father, we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. When we are discouraged by our weakness, give us strength to follow Christ, our pattern and our hope, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. We have no power in ourselves to help ourselves when we are discouraged by our weakness. Lent is a time for us to reflect upon ourselves and our journey with Jesus, and our journey with Jesus through Lent. A time of looking at who are we as Christian people living today. And I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, when we look in the mirror, we recognize our faults. And sometimes those faults are big and sometimes they're small. And some days the big faults don't seem so big at all. And other days the small faults seem big. But we all have a perception about ourselves that we're not quite who we want to be. That we're not quite gracious enough. We perhaps don't say thank you enough. Perhaps we are not mindful enough in our relationships with others. We don't control our speech well. And on and on and on the list can go. And I think by and large as people, we can beat up on ourselves quite well. I know I can. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that boxing match, that others are in there too. But one of the things that we have to be mindful of is that we are not alone. That we can come to Jesus. And we can bring our faults with us to the Lord. And know that the Lord is there with us to give us strength through the Holy Spirit. I was moved today by David Hamilton's prayer as he began his ministry as our PWRDF representative. I thank you for that prayer. And I thought of seeing those pictures from Africa as a result of the cyclone. I imagine a lot of you have seen them on the news. They've been there for 2 or 3 days. And the people who didn't have much to begin with, their land is absolutely flattened. Their mud huts are back to mud. They have nothing. And all you can see was water. It was unbelievable. And now they've got all the illnesses that come with stagnant water beset upon them. And they already had very little. And I'm really happy, not about that tragedy, but I'm happy that the church is responding, already bringing aid to these people. Because we spend a lot of energy working in those countries already through the Primates Fund. And that today is an outreach of who we are from here, going and doing something we can't do much about ourselves except pray for them, but also donate to help that cause, that emergency, and help them reestablish to some level who they are. But we as a church are always being called upon to think about who are we as a church, the community of Jesus alive on the earth. And in the readings today, Paul was saying to the people in Corinth, you've got to think about when you are baptized, you take on a responsibility. You take on a responsibility of being Jesus alive in the world. That when you have taken on this responsibility, it's not good enough just to know you are a member of a loving church community, but you have to act it all the time. So what you do on Sunday and what you do on Monday and Tuesday has to be congruent. It's not good enough to be loving and kind on one day of the week and go out the next day and be awful. I had that brought home to me many years ago when I was a rector in Bedford, Nova Scotia. Now, Bedford, Nova Scotia, the church was quite a bit bigger than this church. We'd have on a Sunday morning about 1,000 people a week over three different services, about 300 per service, including the 8 o'clock service. And there was aisles down the next to the wall, as well as the middle aisle. And at one of the services, the more charismatic service, people would get out of the pews and make a circle around the church and sing a hymn together holding hands. I think it was "I Am the Body of Christ" or something like that. And people joyfully enjoyed this kind of movement and moment. But I forcefully remember one day I was sitting in the office and this young woman came up to the office, knocked on the door, came in tears. And she said, "This church is phony. You're phony." I said, "Tell me more." And she said, "Well, we were all together on Sunday morning and singing this joyful hymn. I was holding hands with my boss and we're singing together and it was great. And Monday morning he called me in the office and fired me." And then we had a conversation. And we had a conversation, "Did he tell you why?" and so on. She didn't feel she understood. So I called the guy up and I said, "What's going on?" I said, "We have to be church all the time." "Well, she wasn't performing." I said, "Fine. Had you given her results and feedback earlier?" "Well, no." And so we had this strong discussion. And I'll give him credit. He hired her back and she went back. And she learned from her mistakes and she stayed with him as long as I was in the parish. But that was an awful moment, but it taught me that we have to be always cognizant that who we are on Sunday is who we are on Monday. And that sometimes we fail in that because we're human. But the good news is that God is there to help us. That we are there when we look at ourselves reflectively. We have to see ourselves in a way that says we are congruent in our belief and our actions. And that's what the fig tree parable is all about. People have wondered for years, what is the fig tree? And there's been lots of academic reflection on it. But the fig tree really represents the church community of Jesus' day, the temple community. The fig tree is the temple community. And he's talking about all the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the members. And he's seeing that community dedicated to God was not bearing fruit. And that God is saying, if you don't fix it up, it's going to be smashed down. And this is after the fall of the temple that this was written. Because Luke wrote around the year 80, and the temple fell in the year 70. And so they already knew, for them, the temple community had been smashed, had been burnt. And so they were trying to figure out, why did this happen? Because for them, the temple was God's presence on earth, and it had been destroyed by the Romans. And so they felt it was the community had not been faithful enough to God, and it had been smashed down. What it reminds me of is today, we are called in this Lenten season to look at ourselves, for we are individually and collectively the temple of God. We are all fig trees, and we are all called to bear fruit. And I know that we are a blooming good group, and bear lots of fruit. And I thank God for that. But we have to continue to nourish the world and nourish ourselves and make sure that we are bringing fruitfulness to the world in the name of Jesus. And so today, as we receive the sacrament, I pray that we are re-energized by the love of God present in us to go tomorrow and the whole week through bearing fruit, for we are the voice and the actions of Jesus in a world which seems to turn its back. May God bless us all in our ministries this day. Amen.